Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Beth and Darren.
Good morning, everyone.
So it's what is it today? Wednesday. It's the middle of the week.
As we like to say, hump day.
Yes. Oh, there we go. Dylan Macon. Oops, I did it again. Said his name. Right. Said his name. Terrible.
We do have a special guest with us today. I don't know if she realizes that she's a special guest. She comes down with that beautiful morning smile. Who could that be, you ask? Well, that's my mother.
Yeah.
That's right. She's all the way from Fresh Meadows, Queens, is my mom.
Yes.
She stayed with us last night. And
our animals are very happy about
that. Our animals were so excited to have her here. Santana jumps up and down for joy every time she sees her like a crazy lunatic. And the other cats, I think they're happy that she's here. They don't react the same way as Santana.
No, Hazel went in and slept with her last night because she was once again scratching on our daughter's door for a good 15 minutes. And our daughter still manages to ignore the fact that the cat will not give up scratching that door until she lets her in.
Until she lets her in. But I think my mom had a very good night's sleep. Did you have a good night's sleep?
Yes, I had.
She had a fantastic night's sleep.
Except for the heat situation that we still have going on, where it's like Siberia upstairs.
Was it cold in the room?
Yeah.
Mom says it was cold.
And
she's
usually cold, so
she's usually cold, so I don't really, doesn't tell us anything. I don't know what you're saying. Like, she's usually cold. Saying that it's cold doesn't mean that it was cold.
Well, it was colder. It was definitely colder.
And we took her to what's becoming one of our favorite restaurants.
Giorgio's.
They like to put the duh in front of it. So we went out there again yesterday, and the food was excellent once again. It wasn't as crowded as it was last time, although it did get a few more people.
Well, what I love about that place is the guy who gives, all the specials, and we never actually have the specials. You notice that?
You think he's...
He gets annoyed. The last time we went there... He kind of got annoyed that we were, he went through all these specials.
So maybe we should just tell him from that
and
moment.
We don't need to hear them.
Stop right there. You don't need to tell us anything.
But it's like a whole thing. He goes into it. It's his show. And then he's like, what do you want? And he thinks you're going to order from the specials. And then he has this look of like, oh, I just went through that whole thing and you didn't even ask for anything.
Although you did have a glass of wine. My mom had a
yes, we had some nice wine.
And it was,
I'm
nice.
Getting it all in before I go on my Isagenix. It arrives today. I already the blender is here. My friend gave me all these instructions of what I need to be doing, and I'm all ready. I'm primed and pumped. It's going to come today.
Well, and the reason my mom is here is because she's got her doctors up here in Westchester. All of her doctors are up here in Westchester. I tried to convince her many years ago that she should just move up here, but that doesn't seem to have worked. So she opts to go over the bridge every so often during the week instead. But we were happy to have her stay with us last night. So I have a new nickname for our daughter, by the way.
Oh yeah, what?
Yeah, I think it might catch on. It's called $3 Shakedown. Because you should have seen it in the car this morning. She just looks at me and she goes, you have $3? And I'm like, I don't know if I have $3. She goes, come on, give me $3. I'm like, what do you need $3 for? She goes, I need it for school. And like, she was just very evasive with the information. And I'm like, I don't know if I have $3. And she's like, I need $3. And I'm like, oh. And I'm looking like frantically, like I'm about to get mugged. And finally, I was like, okay, well, I only have the 10. And she goes, okay,
I'll take that.
I'll take the
it's
10.
It's easier to ask for less than more.
I'll take the 10 and give you change. I'm like, okay. So now, as I was dropping her off, I go, I'll see you later, $3 Shakedown. So that's her new nickname.
Excellent.
Now, I think it'll fly. So while you're looking, I'm going to give our kids something to eat, okay?
Yeah. Oh, you mean he wants to eat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this show conflicts right with breakfast time.
Yeah, we wake him up. It's like we've got all kinds of things going on, lots of noise. Eventually, the dog's going to start whining because she doesn't let us. She's looking for snacks. She's on the prowl.
So what do you think of, before we go into the stuff that you want to talk about, what do you think of John Stewart?
It's
care,
fun.
Not care?
I mean, I don't really watch the show too much, but people are up in arms about it. And then they're saying it sounds like it came too soon from the whole Brian Williams thing. So they're questioning, are they going to swap roles? Will Jon Stewart go to the NBC News? And will Brian Williams go to the Daily Show? Like, could that actually happen? It's kind of weird. I can't imagine because he's not a great news fan.
Is Brian Williams funny?
Yes, they were saying Brian Williams actually wanted to replace Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. He actually vied for that role, and he didn't get it.
Well, I guess he's pretty funny right now, given all the stuff he's lied about, right? He could just make a whole career of
lies. Yeah, well, he's tall tales. That's his thing. Yeah, so that's the latest news that I read about them.
But he's not, when is he actually leaving the show?
Well, he's leaving in September, and Brian Williams is just suspended for 6 months, so that's kind of curious.
That's the other thing, too. Why is NBC saying suspended for 6 months?
Without pay, $5 million, that's bums.
Well,
that's terrible.
Why don't they call it is saying, you just say he's gone. Why did they call it? He's not coming back.
He is, well, he may.
He's not coming back.
Well, he could be. I don't know. He's still under contract. He could come back after 6 months.
Well, what do you mean you're still under contract? Either you're under contract or you're not. You can't suspend somebody that's under contract.
He is under contract.
Okay, then either to break the contract or not. Like.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not in the legal department at NBC. I don't know what.
Be.
Yeah, I have no idea what it was. It says suspended without pay. He's going to be without $5 million, so say a prayer for Brian.
Send it our way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What are they going to
do? Whatever you're doing
with
that $5 million, send it our way.
That's an excellent cost-saving measure on the part of NBC. It's probably one of those like, oh, my God, we just shaved $5 million from the budget by kicking Brian Williams out for 6 months.
Is there anything we could do similar within our family?
No, unfortunately. I don't know who we can suspend and make fun, save $5 million.
Okay.
How about make $5 million?
Exactly.
That would be nice, too. So I'm looking at this really cute thing from actually my client's voice. They posted this whole thing about how this a gorgeous photo series helps often overlooked lap dogs get adopted. And they did this beautiful photo series of these black dogs with flowers on top of their heads. And they're so cute. And it's funny because we have a black dog and we got her when she was, you know, super little, and we also have a black cat, so I guess we don't really have any.
We don't
discriminate against black animals.
Why would they? I still never get that study that this says. Black.
It says darker colored pups instead have a harder time finding homes, in part because their adoption photos don't always turn out so great. Humane Society of Utah photographer Genevieve Schuster is changing all of that with a stunning new series of adoption pictures centered around one very simple, laudable idea. People often comment on how black dogs do not photograph well, so I really wanted to show that they can. And then she takes a photo of a dog with like a garland of flowers on its head.
But is that the primary means of adoption? People start looking at photos first. I mean,
yeah, of course. Well, here's the funny thing.
My
when
mom's
we,
shaking her head. Yeah, of course.
Well,
as a
pet expert.
Of course, you dummy.
Exactly. No, but when our son.
Well, they already know his name.
When he and I were looking at the Pet Finder site to potentially foster a dog that lasted 39 seconds, we looked at a dog that was brown and white. And I got in touch with the foster person, the parent or whatever, and she said, oh, well, that one's already been adopted, but we have another one. And she did show us the photo, and Santana was still super cute at 8 years old anyway. But we went in and we adopted, we got that one instead. So
I'm sorry. It seems like the most ridiculous thing in the world. Like, what actually is coming through on a photo on a dog that's not black versus black that could actually...
They just think it's cuter looking. I don't know.
Seriously, can you imagine anything cuter than this dog right here?
Oh, she's adorable.
I mean, right? Like, who is the cutest freaking dog in the world? All right, it's you.
But yeah, so that's the controversy over black dogs. So this is a very nice thing they're doing, but we adopted one without even having to put any flowers on her head. She was just super cute to begin with.
When I was growing up, I had a pure... pure black cat called Samantha. Samantha, let me tell you, if there was ever a reason to be afraid of a black cat, this was the cat to be afraid of. But somehow I made it through alive during my childhood because I would walk through the apartment. We had four cats at the time. And this cat did not like anybody except my mother. And if you were in within 1 to 2 feet of our cat Samantha walking by, watch out. The blades would come out. She'd come and she'd swipe at you. And it was so often I'd get nicked, get a little flesh wound, get a bandage, and then be on my way. You would think after 5-6 times of being scratched that the cat would have been gone, but my mom didn't seem to really think that it was all that bad, right, Mom? She said you'll get over it. Just keep your face away from the claws. It's pretty much it. And over time, I guess she was right. The cat started to grow fond of me, or actually started to take pity on me. I don't know what, either one. And as I would walk by, this cat would stop scratching me. I mean, she had some claws like you wouldn't believe. But she also was, I mean, I tell you, she was a gorgeous, gorgeous cat. I mean, one of the most beautiful cats you'll ever see. And she adored my mother, right? I mean, she was just, her eyes were gorgeous, everything about her just beautiful. And then over time, I think she did become a little bit more tame, and I could actually, believe it or not, start to pet her, and all was good with the world. But yeah, that was my first experience. This is when I was 2 or 3 years old. Right? Yeah, my mom's shaking her head.
Yeah, I know. Like, can you believe it? An animal that would attack me once a week.
So I have to say, since your mom is here, and I clicked on another thing, the list of senior discounts for people over 55. I'm going to save you so much money right now. It's insane. They have a whole list here of restaurants, retail and apparel, grocery, airlines. If you were to travel, just so you know, on Alaska Airlines, you get 50% off.
Wow. Anything? 50
for anything. 50% off anyone 65 and over. American Airlines discounts for 50% off non-peak periods Tuesdays through Thursdays. Southwest Airlines, Amtrak is 15% off. Greyhound is 15%. And then there's car rentals. You could get 25% off. There's like all things and hotels and everything. It's amazing. So we need to save this list because we'll just book on your discount and we'll all reap the benefits. We'll all say, and we're only 10 years away from getting the discount.
I'm sure they've never thought of that before.
There's right.
Companies that people would latch on to these discounts. So.
Well, I guess you have to show your
probably need
license.
ID.
Even like AMC Theaters up to 30% off. U.S. National Parks, all these things. It's pretty amazing. We should save this thing.
Well, since you're 10 years older than me, you'll be able
to get those discounts. You're so funny. I'm like 10 minutes older. Than you, like 1 month older than you. So, oh look, the Waldorf Astoria. You can get $5,000 off the nightly rate for the presidential suite. Just so you know, $5,000.
Is the Waldorf Astoria still pretty popular? That used to be beautiful. I don't know. That used to be like an iconic building, the hotel.
Well, I've been to like luncheons there. I mean, it's very nice. People get married there. I haven't stayed at the Waldorf Astoria, but it's a very nice hotel.
Oh, when you went out with your girlfriends that weekend,
We stayed on a Groupon at the Hotel Edison.
Okay.
So that was a little bit off the beaten path from the Waldorf Astoria. One day we can go back and stay at one of those fancy hotels. The only time I used to stay at fancy hotels was when I worked in TV, and if we were booking the talent at a hotel, I got to go and stay. So my favorite hotel of all time is the Peninsula in Chicago.
And the reason, I
had the cast of Everybody Loves Raymond on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and we stayed in the Peninsula, and at the time I had caught a cold and I was sick as a dog, and I went into the bathroom, and in the tub was a flat screen TV, not in the tub, but above the tub. So you were able to take a nice warm bath and watch TV at the same time. I was like, this is heaven. I was like, this is the best place ever. So I was very happy to be staying at the Peninsula. But I also like the Ritz-Carlton, and I've gotten many bathroom renovation ideas from hotel bathrooms. They always have the best, like the most.
I never get to stay in any of these hotels.
Yeah, I guess not. If you go to the Hotel Edison, you're not going to really get inspired by the fixtures in the bathroom. But if you go, you think about our rainhead shower and all the things that I did when we did our renovation, it really came from the fact that at the time I was still working at CBS and I was staying at fancy hotels, and I would look and say, ooh, we should have this rainhead and we should have this and this. And so that's what it's inspired by, a hotel bathroom.
Right.
If you ever wanted to know.
Thank you. I'm glad.
And it's a good thing because now the finances are tighter and we'd be like a Holiday Inn. I don't know what the bathroom would be looking like now.
I guess our downstairs bathroom looks like.
Well, the downstairs was when we first moved into the house and we were just starting out. And
right.
The one thing with the downstairs bathroom is that the tile space is so small that if we ever wanted to upgrade and put in more expensive tiles, it'd be more expensive to just have the tile guy come in and lay the floor down than actually buying the tile. So the key would be actually learning how to do it ourselves, which will never happen.
So going back to your favorite news source, the New York Post, I have to say they always have the best cover page of any newspaper, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. What was this one? Oh, this was Brian Williams.
Brian Williams. It says on top, suspended 6 months, Brian shot down, this time for real, exclamation point. It's pretty funny. I mean, they know how to stick it to a person pretty good.
They're good. I wish I was a headline right there. It must be a lot of fun sitting there.
And then there's a headline here. This is an interesting one. Puerto Rico considers fining parents of obese children. I'm going to take a look at that. That's interesting. I want to see what that says. Puerto Rico considers fining parents of obese children. Legislators in Puerto Rico are debating a bill that would fine parents of obese children up to $800 if they don't lose weight. The bill aims to improve children's well-being and help parents make healthier choices. Senator Gilberto Rodriguez said in a statement issued Monday, public hearings for the bill are scheduled to begin Friday. If approved, public school teachers would flag potential obesity cases and refer them to a counselor or a social worker, depending on the severity of the case. Health department officials would then meet with the parents and determine whether the obesity is a result of bad eating habits or a medical condition. They also create a diet and exercise program combined with monthly visits to ensure it's being followed. After 6 months, officials would evaluate the child again, with parents possibly facing between $500 to $800 in fines. The situation does not improve at another 6 months to a year. Wow.
Wow.
Can you imagine if they tried to actually implement something like that here? I mean,
well,
when I say here, Puerto Rico is part of the United States, so it's not like it's that far-fetched of a scenario. I mean, you had Bloomberg, who basically outlawed supersized sodas, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be. I don't know how I feel about that. What would you think?
If somebody got fucked. Well, I mean, the problem is that a lot of times the obesity epidemic affects low-income families, so. Then they don't even have $800.
Yeah, well, that's what they're going to argue, that you're going to, that something like this measure is going to have the biggest impact on those who are least able to afford it.
Right, but those people aren't paying their bills to begin with, so they're going to ignore it and not pay it. And what's going to happen? Now, you know, that's the thing. Oh, thanks for that. I'll just put that in the corner with the other bills that I owe. I mean, because what are they going to? It's better to say we're threatening to take your child away than fining them $800.
Yeah.
You know?
We're taking your child away because your child is obese. I mean,
well, yeah, that's a little extreme.
Okay,
but
just remember you heard that. That did not come from me. When you listen Keeping It Real with Beth and Darren, and who's got the extreme point of view, remember those
words.
Well, if
Darren's 100 pounds over, we're
looks
going
like
to
looks
put
like your kid just gained a couple pounds. Social services, let's go. Come on in. Oh, my God.
It's well, I mean, you're saying.
Why don't we start with
grossly,
the fine first?
We're saying grossly overweight.
I don't even know what that level is. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have, you know, whatever is considered to be medically obese is. It says more than 28% of children in Puerto Rico are considered obese, compared with some 18% in the United States mainland. I think this is going to become a very interesting story if this does take hold in Puerto Rico and they start bringing it back to the mainland here. Can you imagine the outrage that people, I mean, how much controversy this is going to stir up?
I can't imagine that they would do it here, though.
I mean, if you think that think about how much controversy the supersized soda cups banning those created, right?
It created a lot.
Just that.
I mean, it's a matter of, the thing is what they're trying to do is introduce in schools the whole concept of healthy eating and getting kids talking more about the fact that you shouldn't have these things because it's so bad for you. So if the kid comes home and says, Mom, we really shouldn't have all this junk in the house, which our kids have done. I mean, of course, there are things that we've got. We do have junk, but not to that extent. So there have been times where our kids, well, especially our daughter, will call us out on things that she feels are not healthy.
On a scale 1 to 10, there's a healthiness of the food that we have in our house.
Yeah.
10 being the best, 1 being the worst. Overall, what would you grade us?
I think it's at a 7. I have some junk in the closet because we put it into their lunches. You know, there is some, you know, there's some.
I'd put it at a 7, too.
Yeah.
I think at times we've been at an 8.
Right.
Other times we've fallen down high in the 6. we've never been below 5. I think we've always had a reasonable amount of stuff, but we're not like super healthy in terms of all of our choices of food. But overall, I think we're probably right there.
Yeah,
seven. We should probably try to strive to be an 8.
Okay, then we'll work on that.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, exactly.
This to me is one of the most interesting stories of the day, because you know this is gonna eventually escalate into something a lot bigger. No pun intended. But, and what else? I can't believe you actually have me looking at the New York Post now, like as a source of information.
It's very good. Listen, I was talking to one of our mutual friends, Wendy Koch, who said to me that she loves the Post too. I said it's addicting.
It is,
and like people that you wouldn't expect to love the Post, and it's
the Post is sort of like what we were talking about with sort of male vocalists that I like, but you know, are too embarrassed to admit, like you know, Barry Manilow. Air Supply.
I don't know if it's that extreme.
No, it is.
Like people,
you know, there's a lot of people who like the Post who just don't want to admit it because they think that when they like,
oh, they think that they're super conservative.
No, not even conservative. They think there's some admission or something implied about your overall intellect that the fact that you like the Post as opposed to whatever other sources, The Economist, The New York Times, whatever, you know, more prestigious journalistic. Pieces out there are, and you know, you don't think of the New York Post as being one of them, so people generally don't go around saying, oh, I love the Post, but you're right, a lot of people do really enjoy the Post.
Yeah.
And I got it, man, I enjoy reading.
Well, and I have
too.
Some friends who are actually reporters at the Post. Michael Starr is one of my favorite TV writers, he's awesome, and Claire Atkinson, she's
a
business media writer.
I know Michael Starr has done right by you
many times.
That guy is a stud.
He's the best.
He really.
And my other friend is Claire Atkinson, and she writes in the business media section, and she's lovely, and I've known her for a very long time, and I you know I love working with her. I have a harder time finding people at the Daily News or Newsday, at least when I reach out to my friends at the Post. If they're interested or they're not interested, they at least respond. And that's something that says a lot. You know, that's the big thing about today where it's so easy. I'm dealing with something right now with one of my clients where I have this writer at 17 Magazine that said she was interested in doing a story and wanted to send over questions for my client. And I said, okay, great, send them. If I tell you, I sent her about a half a dozen emails and called her on the phone and nothing, no response. Now, here's the thing. If she changed her mind and said, you know what, I need to put a hold on it for now, I can't do it, that's fine. But to not respond at all after you've already said yes about something is like, it's unprofessional. It's super unprofessional. And I'm dealing with that. And, you know, and you have to be accountable to your client and say, what's going on? I thought you said we were doing this. And these people just, you know, they're kids. They're in their 20s. They email to them is not as big a deal. A lot of times, kids in their 20s are not even looking at their emails anymore. They only get text messages. And I don't have her cell phone to start stalking her on her text, because if I did, I would. I would. I mean, I find with certain reporters, if I don't hear from them, I stalk them on Twitter. I get them on Facebook. I go into LinkedIn. You can't just give, you know, a lot of times voicemail, if you leave a message, that's no man's land. Nobody's picking up their voicemail anymore. But the email, a lot of people are just ignoring it. Very, very frustrating. And the funny thing is I actually had a situation where I had a request from my client from another magazine and I responded back to the person and I never heard from her. And I responded a couple of times and never heard from her. And finally, I'm like, you know what, let me call her, because I have a feeling my emails are going to spam. And I called and left a message and that is what happened. My email went to spam and she never saw my email. And she's like, let's just deal by the phone to make sure that we get this done.
Hmm. Emails are going to spam.
Yeah. It was weird. She said I checked my spam, you know, my IT department checked the spam folder. So a lot of times, I guess, don't think it's just you. If somebody's not responding, they could just not, it could have gone to spam and they never saw it in the first place.
Wow.
So,
okay. That's good. I probably should stop, you know, getting angry at so many people for not returning mine.
Well, yeah. Well, because especially since with you, in your situation where you're sending out like a newsletter blast.
Where it truly is.
Is going to spam. you should not take that personally at all. You're going to have to just let it go and hopefully, you know, once in a while people get back to you.
That's a song, right? Let It Go?
Let It Go.
Let It Go? Okay.
Yeah, that's what our temple is doing for their Purim spiel. Let It Go, yeah, or Frozen or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No comment. Let's
move on. I'll leave that one alone.
Yeah, we'll leave that one. Yeah, I'll stick a pin in that. I don't really need to talk about that. And then here I have a story. This is interesting. Wait, what did I just see? General news, secret stash of moon artifacts found hidden in Neil Armstrong's closet. Wow.
Hmm.
He said these are the contents of a mysterious white bag found hidden in Neil Armstrong's closet. Weird-looking lamps, wrenches, utility brackets, sights, and a film camera that later was identified as the one that captured the famous Apollo 11's descent on the moon's surface. Nobody knew about it, including his widow.
You think Neil Armstrong like, had a girlfriend on the moon?
Yeah, I know. Oh, I thought he took, like, moon rocks, but I guess this is just...
That would be pretty funny, like, if Neil Armstrong had his wife home and a girlfriend on the moon.
No, yeah, okay, there's no people there.
Right? I mean, that'd be pretty cool, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah, so these are kind of boring artifacts. I mean, this is just the supplies he brought with him to the moon. I thought that he took stuff and stuck it in his closet.
Whoa. Let's move off of Neil Armstrong for a second there. What's this? I'm looking at something on my Facebook here.
Yeah.
A picture of my beautiful wife and my beautiful daughter, but I'm trying to figure out what this says. It says, Dawn Sandomino tagged me in a post that asks women to take a minute and appreciate their unfiltered beauty. So here it goes. This is a shot with my beautiful daughter at the Mets game this past summer. I'm trying to think about that. This was this past summer or not, but that's for a different
thing. It was. Okay. It was before they went away to camp.
The one thing I have to say is when I am out with my family, I don't think much about fixing my hair or makeup. Thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. In fact, some of the best times I've ever had was when my hair was a mess. My eyeliner was smudged and there was no lipstick in sight.
Like when we went in the cave in Jamaica. Or like
sometimes it really doesn't matter how you look on the outside. It's how you feel around the people you love. Now I want to hear from you. And she's got a whole bunch of other people in there. Well, that's actually very nice. And it is a beautiful picture of the two of you.
Thank you.
But
now you're like, but you don't like to clean up for me.
I don't know how to...
You always say to me if I'm wearing too much makeup.
I do not like you with too much makeup.
Yeah, so...
I think you look great without the makeup.
Well,
so.
Thank you. There's this whole big thing going around on Facebook where people are tagging each other about this, with this, like, show your picture without makeup and say why.
Am I going to get a chance to do that, too?
It hasn't been... They haven't tagged guys yet.
That
so.
Is really...
You know makeup.
That's
yeah, that's
really
good.
That's really
funny.
Unfair.
Funny.
I'm trying to think, maybe, like, what they could do for guys instead, like go unshaven, you know.
Go with the beard.
Yeah,
they already do
beard.
That in November. That's called Movember.
You know who's not going to be a sponsor of, like, this type of movement?
A makeup company?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You won't see CoverGirl endorsing this.
Well, but you know what's funny, though? If you think about it, like, the tobacco industry, a lot of times they do the anti-tobacco. They take part in those things, too. So they could... Because if you look at my picture, I did have eyeliner on. I mean, it whatsoever. It was just not much of it. And by the end of the day, it's usually hardly there. So that's all.
Hmm. This is interesting. Somebody, thank you, Florida, Kentucky, and Missouri, which are the first states that require drug testing when applying for welfare. Ooh, that is interesting. Some people are crying and calling this unconstitutional. How is this unconstitutional? It's okay to drug test people who work for their money, but not for those who don't. You post this if you'd like to see this done in all 50 states. If you can afford to buy drugs and extra illegal things, then you can afford your own groceries. Gotta say, I agree with that. Actually, that makes a whole lot of sense. I didn't even realize that goes on. That required drug testing when you apply for welfare in those states.
That would make sense.
I think that's a good idea. Actually, I like it.
All right, good. Glad to hear it. So other than that, we have to, I guess you have to get ready to take our son to school, right?
I think in about another 5 minutes, I got to take him. But yeah, I know you got to get going because you got things you
got
to do.
I got things to go. I have people to see.
One of your favorite
Michael J. Fox.
Here's something he says. If a child can't learn the way we teach, maybe we should teach the way they learn. I like that.
Okay.
I think that's good, too.
Yeah, I don't
know. That's a good thing.
Okay.
It means that teachers need to be flexible in the approach that they take teaching children.
Yes, I get
that. And not every child learns the same exact way. There shouldn't be this regimented way that we go about teaching kids. And people should be more in tune with what the kids need to learn, as opposed to saying, this is the way it is. And then, you know, if you can handle it, great. And if you can't, sorry, you're going to sort of fall out of the pack. That's, I think, what they're saying.
Well, I also think that there are just some teachers that are terrific and others that stink. So that's a problem, too.
Yeah, we're not going to go there,
but we could say, you know, if you're just, it's just like if you're not good enough to play sports, don't go for the team.
Right.
If you're not that good at teaching,
if you are a teacher out there and you feel at this point that you're just punching the clock, time for you to step down. That's what it should be. If you're a teacher out there and you're just putting in your time, you're doing a lot of people a big disservice. And that's I think that's very true. So now you can say it's time for me to
Exactly. Well, this is nice, and we'll say this before we go, although it's a little sad. So my client posted this one. This is a dog thing.
Do you have tissues ready?
Do you have tissues? A dog's last will and testament. Before humans die, they write their last will and testament, give their home and all they have to those they leave behind. If with my paws I could do the same, this is what I'd ask. To a poor and lonely stray, I give my happy home, my bowl and cozy bed, soft pillow and all my toys, the lap which I love so much, the hand that stroked my fur, and the sweet voice that spoke my name. I'd will to the sad, sacred shelter dog the place I had in my human's loving heart, of which there seemed no bounds. So when I die, please do not say I will never have a pet again, for the loss and pain is more than I can stand. Instead, go find an unloved dog, one whose life has held no joy or hope, and give my place to him. This is the only thing I can give. The love I left behind. Oh, your mom's crying.
Mom's crying. Everybody's crying. Tears are flowing.
Oh, my God. That is awesome.
That is very nice.
This is so nice. I'm going to share.
Who put that out?
Emily Hartman. She's a sweetheart. She's actually she works for Voice, my client. And
that's amazing. That's a really good piece.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And what I love about Emily.
Share that on my timeline too, please.
I will. What I love about Emily is that she takes in shelter dogs. She's got like four dogs, and she has recently, I guess in the past year, she had a dog with had to have its leg amputated. So she's got a dog with three legs. And the interesting thing is that she works at the company that owns I for C, which creates dog Voice. So she was in more of like the financial space, but her love is animals and dogs and dog rescue. So when this opportunity came up at another part of the company to help develop a product that'll help with the health and wellness of dogs, she moved over. So now she's getting to do what she loves.
That's awesome. Well, when you share it on my timeline, and one thing where it says it's bio, it says author unknown, just change it to author Darren Felton.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I have to do that for my computer, so I can't do that here. Anyway, so on that note, thanks for stopping by.
Stay classy.